Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor shares a word specially for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
God's got a word for you that I believe is just going to liberate you from the inside out. You know, there's more ways to beat a disease than just by getting healed. There's more ways to beat a bondage. There's more ways to outlast, you know, waiting for your word from the Lord to come to pass. You know, and sometimes we just don't know what to do while we're in the midst of the waiting period. We're waiting for manifestation. We're waiting for complete deliverance. We're waiting for that prophetic utterance to come to pass. But in the meantime, we're getting beat up by the disease sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. You know, it's possible to have a bad day. It's possible Peter had a wave moment. You know, that wave just kind of took him away from the promise of walking on the water. You know, I mean, the devil's very good at warfare. He's been doing it a long time, right? Way more than we have. We have to study how to do it. He's been in it, this warfare thing, for a long, long time. And it's important that you and I do our very best so that we give God at least something to work with. Now, some days we give Him more to work with than other days. You know, some days we give Him our thoughts more than other days. Some days we give Him our words more than other days. Sometimes we give Him offerings and seed to work with. Sometimes we give Him some servanthood to work with. So God takes all of our actions, and He has a way of multiplying that in presence form, power form, drives demons back and devils back. And, you know, and I mean, it's really an incredible journey that we're on here with this. But there's those days where the issue that we have or that has us speaks to you. Cancer has a voice. You know, nicotine has a voice. Drugs have a voice. Food has a voice. Coffee has a voice. Coffee says, try and go without me for 3 days. You know, and sugar says, I mean, there's no greater food to feed cancer than sugar. So the number one food that feeds cancer is sugar. And these things, pornography has a voice, a huge voice. You know, it says, hey, and it just talks to you. Talks to the flesh part of you. And it almost challenges you as Goliath did. Goliath had a mocking spirit. It mocked Israel. Basically said, hey, where's a worthy opponent? Who's going to take me on? Come on, find somebody. And they were all hiding, and Goliath was gaining confidence and saying, hey, you know, where's all the champions? Send me out your champion. And if he wins, we'll serve you. If I win, then you all have to serve us. Circumstances talk. Your bank account talks to you. Your checkbook talks to you. Your checkbook tells you you can't go in certain stores. When you're at the mall, this checkbook says, don't go in, can't go in there. Car dealership, don't pull in there. Well, you can't afford even the steering wheel, let alone the car. You can't, your checkbook talks to you. Your body talks to you. Your body says, oh, you can't do this. You're too old for that. You're too weak for that. You know what the doctor told you. And I mean, on it, we hear voices all day. You know, when you get into that car of yours, you know, and your car says, you know, oh, you better pray. It's the only way you're going to get to where you're going. You're going to have to pray to get you to where you want to go. This car needs more than gas. You need some supernatural help. This car has 120,000 miles on it, and you don't have any money. And these voices. Well, Paul, at the writing of this letter here, this verse that we just read, I want to talk about defiance. Inner defiance has to come from. See, we're taught not to rebel. We're taught to get rebellion out of us. There's a bad rebellion, but there's a really good defiance. And that is when you're defying what the devil's trying to keep you in and keep you grounded, keep your wings clipped. And I'm going to talk to you about attitude, the power of attitude. You got to get an attitude to get out of where you are. It may not be a lovey-dovey attitude. It may not be all Jesus, I love you attitude. It may be something a little more demonstrative. But maybe I'm talking to some people that never get angry. I don't think I've met anybody yet, but that anger can be taken over and turned into faith. I mean, Jesus did it when he was wakened out of the sleep. What are you afraid of? And then he turned around and stopped the storm. He wasn't happy of their unbelief. He wasn't thrilled about it. But they stirred him up and he got up. And what are you so afraid of? And just a minute. And he wasn't in some, okay, just a minute, guys. Oh, Father. He wasn't into some, melancholy marshmallow mood. Man, he was upset that they woke him out of a sleep, that they weren't trusting him, that he was in the boat with them. He's thinking, I'm not going down with this ship. Their words were, save us, we're going to perish. So they already decided they were going to die. So he wasn't happy, but what did he do? He rechanneled that and said, be still. And so this attitude that we have, it's words that are unspoken. Attitudes are born in the mind. That's the cradle. Your mind is the cradle for attitudes. When I see your attitude, I probably know what your words will be. If I hear your words, I know your attitude. But here's the attitude that this apostle had. I love it. I just think it's amazing. He's chained to a Roman centurion. He's in Rome, chained to a Roman centurion. I'm going to say that again because I want you to see this. He's chained to a soldier in the Roman courtyard. And he's writing a letter to the church. And here's what he says. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. And I'm not a prisoner of this guy that I'm chained to. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Wow. Wow. Could you imagine the devil when the devil heard that? Like, what'd you say? Because see, the devil banks on you and I accepting being a prisoner and getting all the baggage that goes with feeling like a prisoner. I can't buy this. I can't live there. I can't drive this. And I'm stuck with this person. And I'm stuck in this city. I'm stuck in this church. I'm stuck with my retirement benefits. And you just feel like you're sentenced to an imprisonment of a life that just didn't work out. Didn't make enough, didn't do the right decisions. I mean, it's just an avalanche of stuff that hits people, especially older people, because, what's beyond a lot of older people is the best time of their life is called heaven. But we do have enough time here for regret. We do have enough time here to think I didn't plan right. I made some bad decisions. I might have married wrong. I might have lived in the wrong place too long. I might have worked at the wrong place. All of that and more. And pretty soon you just realize I'm a prisoner. I'm not in jail. I'm not incarcerated with bars and dungeon doors and a warden. And I don't have striped clothes on with real chains, but I'm a prisoner. I just can't go somewhere on vacation because I want to go there. I can't go to a sporting event. I can't even go out and buy a new suit. I mean, I'm very restricted. I can't even get my children anything that I'd like to get them. I can't even buy her a graduation present. Unless I go down to the nearly new shop and I get her a used whatever that somebody else had. And then I feel bad that I have to do that. There's people that live under bridges, live in cardboard boxes. I've watched people in New York and Detroit and LA, I've watched them eat out of garbage cans. Then they go home and turn on the television and they watch Let's Make a Deal. They said, "Where's my deal?" And then they dislike their parents, and then they dislike their preacher. And then they get angry. I mean, they get really angry, and they think, you know, what's the use? And they quit caring. And here comes the bottle, here comes the needle. It's just a progression of evil. But where does it all come from? It comes from a feeling of no way, no hope, no how. I'm sentenced to this death row that don't have bars to it. There's no table with a needle waiting. There's no electric chair, but there's just no hope. Our meetings are filled with these people all the time. All the time. I mean, people that come into our meetings, they don't come with hope, a lot of them. Some do, thank you, Lord, for that. But a lot of the people, it's in their eyes. People don't lie through their teeth, they lie through their eyes. Their eyes are filled with light or dark, and you can see down into the soul of people. And so many just, their eyes tell me, there's no hope for me. I deserve this, and the doctor said this. I come from a family, and let me tell you what happened to my mother and my sister. One lady said, every one of my sisters had breast cancer. And now they found a lump on me, and her face was so sad. And I get it. I get it. I understand it. I don't agree, but I understand. You can understand somebody without agreeing with somebody. Quit agreeing with everybody. When you agree with people, it releases the power. It really releases the force in the spiritual realm. And so I when people tell me stuff, I understand. I agree. And as this lady told me, she was a prisoner. She's a prisoner of a family curse, of disease, of breast cancer. She's a prisoner. She's still alive. There's still hope. But she's a prisoner. Why do people deny that they're addicted to pornography? Why would they deny that whenever there's help? Because they've bought a lie that there is no hope. And they can't go a day without getting onto a website. They can't go a day without having a morning drink. They put a brown bag over it, but they fool nobody. If you see somebody drinking out of a brown bag, it's not iced tea. It's not kombucha. So many people out there, they don't wear that sign, but yet they do if you're around a discerning person. And there's just no hope. And then they come to me and they say, boy, you know, bless you. You're doing such a great work. I'm thinking, but let me work in you. Come on, let me work in you. Let me get in there and through the Holy Ghost, work with that heart a little bit. Just give me that tongue just for a couple of days. And let's see if we can get you moving in the right direction. And some say, yes, help me. But others, don't work for me. I tried that. I said, what have you tried, sir? Oh, I've tried everything you're saying. Sir, come on. You have to really work at getting suicidal. You have to really work at getting depressed. You have to really work at giving up on your life. It takes work. It takes a lot of thought, bad thought, but it takes consistent, frequent, repetitive thoughts. No hope, no how, no way. No hope, no how, no way. No how, no way, no hope. However it's arranged. Here's what Paul did. He said, I'm not a prisoner to you, soldier. I'm tied to you, but I'm not your prisoner. And this chain that connects us, but I'm not a prisoner to this chain. I'm not a prisoner to you, and I'm not a prisoner to Rome. Here's what he said. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Oh, did you hear me? I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Zechariah said, I'm a prisoner. He was a prophet, Old Testament. He said, I'm a prisoner. Here's Zechariah. I'm a prisoner of hope. I can't help, I just hope. I'm not in the best of situations. I'm just not, you know, no money, no car. You know, I'm still addicted. You know, I'm still on the streets. I'm still doing what I have to do to make ends meet. I know it's not good, but there's still a light on inside of me. I'm not a prisoner of this. I'm doing this, but I'm not a prisoner of this. Rahab was a harlot. She had a brothel. But inside of her was a heart for the Most High God. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know that she had a heart for God. She looked like she was just possessed to the core, rotten to the core. You know, to do what she did, to have a trick house on the wall. But man, when her moment came, when her Kairos moment came, when Joshua and Caleb, when these guys showed up, these holy men of covenant that carried another presence, it just released that hope on the inside of her. And she said, my life for theirs and their life for mine. And she got out of that lifestyle. Jesus actually came out of that lineage. Rahab is actually in the lineage of Jesus, a harlot. A harlot who said, no, I'm not stuck here. I'm not trapped by the Red Sea. I mean, I am, but I'm not. I mean, it looks really bad. But I refuse to become a prisoner whenever I know that there's a God who hears me, who believes in me. I have to believe that this God has a moment for my deliverance. But all of that has to be preceded sometimes. This may not be an every time story. This is a story for whenever something is talking to you relentlessly. And I mean, it's probably something that's more private in you than public. It's probably not something that you repeat at Bible study or at church or, you know, where you tell somebody that you're with, I'm just lost, I'm hopeless. No, we're smarter than that. We're further down the road than that. We just tell people publicly, keep me in prayer, I'm trusting, but alone. When that support isn't around you, when you're alone, that's the real you. What you think, what you process, what is your attitude? You know, too many people cry themselves to sleep. Too many people don't sleep. Too many people feel like they've failed life, failed family, failed God. And like, you know, hey, I just... Now, they straighten all that up when they meet the preacher. They straighten all that up when they meet the church. But alone, I'm talking about alone. When you can see the chain, when you can see the guy that has you chained, and you hear that invisible voice, you can't get away from me. I have you. You can't go a week without a donut. You can't go a week without sugar frosted flakes. You gotta have this. You need me. And it may not be the drug of cocaine or some other drug that we freebase, or, but it could be over-the-counter prescription, Oxycontin. It could be stuff that was intended to help you at one point, but you just let it get you. And it has you to a point. And then that voice shows up. It's not that bad. That talking snake. You know the talking snake in Genesis 3? He don't leave Genesis. I mean, he goes beyond Genesis. He's in Exodus. He's in Leviticus. He's in Numbers. The talking snake is all through these scriptures where your circumstances talk to you. Goliath, for 40 days, he just wore them down. Send me out a champion. Send me out a worthy opponent. That checkbook, you can't buy anything. You're done. You have no money to leave. Well, you know, your job is to say, wait a minute, I'm not a slave. I'm not a prisoner to this checkbook. I'm not a prisoner to this wheelchair. Wheelchairs talk as much as anything. Praying for people in wheelchairs and believing people, thank God we're seeing so many more get out of wheelchairs, but there's so many. It's not that they're in the chair gets in them. You know, and it's like I said on one broadcast, when they Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot and his wife came out, you know, they were out of it, but it wasn't out of them, and especially her. Lot seemed to shake off what was in him, and eventually, right? But she, Lot's wife, that's why Jesus said what? Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Three words. The lady who got delivered, who was out of it, but it wasn't out of her. She was a prisoner to a city. She was a prisoner to a lifestyle. And even though she tasted freedom, even though she got out of that spirit, it still would not, she would not yield for it to get out of her. God wants to break that spirit today in you that says you're a prisoner, that there's no way, no how, no hope. And I'm not saying today that, you know, that everything is easy, because we still have five senses, and it takes growing your faith to look past the five senses. I tell people all the time, I mean, Jesus, let me say this about Jesus. This was pretty interesting. It says that the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down. What's that mean? It means Jesus didn't beat him on the ground. It means the devil actually had him moving through the temple and up the steps and out to the edge. But thank God at the end of the day, Jesus said, you know, hey, you can't tempt me like that. He ended up winning, but there was a battle engaged there. And what brought him to the pinnacle? What brought him right to the edge? This enemy we fight is powerful. I'm not trying to make it anything less than powerful, because listen to me, that's why God has all power. Someone says the devil don't have any power. Well, Ephesians 6 doesn't say that. It says we fight against principality and powers. We fight against a real devil, real demonic forces, evil forces that are being released in legions on this earth in this very hour. And their job is to convince you that you're stuck, that you're stereotyped, that you can't be anybody different than who you are. They don't want you to read about the people that were transformed here. Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils, and she just, the Bible's very clear, she became very close to Jesus and his team. And it says, out of whom seven devils, she was delivered by seven devils, from seven devils, became part of Jesus' team. Legion had 6,000 demons. And all the other countless people that were impoverished, seemingly with no hope. And back with Jesus, I mean, when he was killed, he had no heartbeat, no brainwave. And the disciples watched him be wrapped and stuck into a tomb. That wasn't a psychological deal. It sure seemed like that was it. It sure seemed like it was over. Two words, but God. Come on, say that with me, but God. Get an attitude today like Paul had. I'm not a prisoner to this chair. You got to start right there. Get an attitude. Get defiant. Get defiant. Let God rise up on the inside of you and say, I'm not confined to this chair. You know, by faith, I am healed. By faith, the manifestation's coming. Look at that checkbook and say, I am not limited. God can still do an amazing thing here. I can still get one of those cows on 1,000 hills. I can still be connected to the wealthy place. I can still have a sudden moment where God moves into my life and rearranges everything. I can meet someone today, someone tomorrow. This disease can be gone by this time tomorrow morning. I will walk again. You've got to get that motor running, and where it gets running is by you getting an inner defiance that says, I am not a prisoner here. Don't sign that covenant. Don't sign that contract. Don't sign that detente. Walk away from that table and say, I'm nobody's prisoner, but the prisoner of the Lord. What's that mean? I'm a prisoner of covenant promises. I'm a prisoner of the name of Jesus. I'm a prisoner of all the testimonies that I've ever heard or seen. I'm a prisoner of hope. I'm going to pray that God quickens you today. That's what I'm going to pray, a quickening power, that God would rise up. Let God arise. It says in Psalm 68:1, let God arise and let that enemy be scattered. But I need your help. Call on Him today. Would you do that? Would you pray with me today and call on Him? Would you do that? Come on, say, Holy Spirit, I call on you today. Help me rediscover the me that used to be here, the fighter, the resister of all evil. I've given in. I've been worn down. I'm battle weary. God, give me back fight. Give me back push. Give me back my desire to be free once again, to be who you want me to be, to serve you, to help others. Oh God, let these chains break today. I call on Jesus. I call on every promise I've ever known or memorized. I call on the Holy Spirit, that anointing to break this yoke. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of hope. I give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget Mark 10:27. With God, there it is, all things are possible.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.